not be hindered.
Finally, verse 8, all of you be of one mind and have compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. Some of your translations, be humble there. Verse 7 are some very hard words that come to us directly from the Spirit of God. But they're important words for us as husbands, things that we need to take to heart. And so that is the lesson for this evening. I'd like to take this verse, and I'd like it just to break it down into its constituent parts, and I'd like for us to discuss each of these parts as we go through. First of all, Paul has spent six verses, some may say six very long verses, talking to wives about their chaste conduct and their excellent conduct before God. He will use the term that their meek, the gentle and quiet spirit is a very precious thing in the sight of God, verse 6. He will say that these are women who adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, in verse 5, as Sarah obeyed Abraham. And then he goes on to say in verse 7, you husbands in the same way. The in the same way, or the likewise, is an interesting phrase to me. You know, the wife is working very hard in verses 1 through 6. She is making all the changes that she needs to with respect to her own relationship with her husband. She is working hard in verses 1 through 6 when that is being read and put to heart. In the same way, I want us to understand that this is a two-way street. And so in verse 7, we understand what the responsibilities are for husbands and how the husband should behave himself. And I want us to think of this in terms of husband, and I speak to myself on this one as well, I need to do what I can. I need to not just throw all this on my wife and say, well, you know, this is her thing, this is her deal, and then I get to do whatever I want because I get to rule. And that's something for us to keep in mind. Let's move ahead then. Husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way. And I think that that's interesting. So your translations will say live with knowledge. And I like that translation, live with knowledge. And when I think of knowing something, it's like, well, I've got those facts in my mind. But I want us to understand that this word knowledge has more to do with it than just knowing facts. And I'm going to say knowledge of what? Live with your wives in an understanding way, or with knowledge. Well, with knowledge about what? And I think the first what for me is what God did in creation. And I think that this is important, and something that as husbands we can never divorce ourselves from, what God did in creation on our behalf with respect to our wives. I want us first of all to consider the creation that God made. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, male and female, he created them. And as much as our society would like to say, well, that's nice, but that's not what I want, that is what God wants. And so male and female, he created them. I think it's impressive to me that God created with so much difference. And I think that that's a beautiful thing. If God had wanted us to be like the plants, which could grow ourselves back by snipping off a finger, for example, you can grow a whole new human being. If God had wanted to do it that way, he would have done it that way, right? But God chose to do it this way because this is what God wants. I think that's an interesting fact. I'd like for us also to think about the fact that in Genesis 2 and verse 18, she is the right or suitable companion for the man. She is the suitable companion for the man. Only she can be, husbands, your true friend. You know, no one else. None of the beasts can be your true friend. You know, other men cannot be your true friend, your suitable companion. Small children cannot be your suitable companion. Only she is suitable for you. And again, this speaks so much to the love of God that he had for you and I, that he would give us the companion who's suitable. I love Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16 says that her desire will be for you. She is desirous of you. She wants to know you, and she wants to understand you. And that's pretty phenomenal when you think about, she actually said yes to you. And she actually said yes to me. And I think that that's a wonderful thing. Her desire is toward you. And then Genesis 2:18, which we've already gone over, she is your helper. She is the one who lives and helps you live faithfully toward God. She is the one who gives you children that you can teach. She is the one who helps you as you find your way in the world. You know, she is the one who makes the home a place of refuge and not a place of hardship. And she is the one who helps. So husbands, we need to know these things. When we live with our wives, we need to live in an understanding way, understanding the beautiful framework that God has set up for us. But not just that, but we should also know her. Well, with her in an understanding way, know her. You want to communicate with your wife as though you are communicating with her and she is speaking a different language, or speaking a foreign language. Because she speaks a very different language than you speak, and it's a language with very different nuances. For example, when she turns to you in the kitchen, and she points to the trash can, and she says, "Does the trash look full to you?" That can have several meanings and several nuances. For example, it could simply mean, "Now's the time to take out the trash, please." It could mean that. Or it could also mean, "Let's go purchase a second trash can." Or it could mean, you know, just for fun, let's see if we can cram even more trash into this trash can we already have. Different individuals, you know, your wife is different from my wife, and my wife is different from the next wife. Different individuals will have different meanings. Is it up to me to understand someone else's wife? Absolutely not. But it is important for me to live with my wife with understanding. For me to understand the context in which she says things and to take that context to heart. That is so important. You know, the wife says to the husband, "I like how your muscles ripple when you carry out the trash." Now, that can mean several things. First of all, it can mean, "Would you please take out the trash more often? And now would be a really good time so it doesn't pile up." Or it could mean, "I am incentivizing you, husband. I am appealing to your ego by saying that you're one good-looking person, but even so, please take out the trash more often." Or she could be saying, "You really are as handsome as you think you are, and then now take out the trash." And these three things, but we need to understand her language. We need to know her. Now, notice in each of these, it's not a matter then of what's her favorite color, or what's her favorite restaurant, or does she like flowers? Does she want fresh flowers? Or does she want flowers in containers that can go in the garden later? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about how clued in you are to her and to the things that she wants. Notice in the verse, in the text that we have, is the husband, is this an imperative straight from the divine? And I think we would say, yes, it is. This is, verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 3, is the command of God directly to you and directly to me. And so we need to be following through with that. We need to be following through with that. Understand her language. And then the first part of the verse, live with, or some of your translations, dwell with. And I like that. And that's why I read verse 8 to begin with, which says finally, or to sum up. If I'm going to sum up everything, right, here's what Peter, through the Holy Spirit, will say. All of you be of one mind, including you married folks. Be united in your thinking. Have compassion for one another. Love as brothers. You know, as family loves, you need to love your spouse. Be tender-hearted. And finally, be courteous, or show great courtesy to your spouse. Live with them with understanding. I like that. These attributes are for everybody, so why should we leave them out of our marriage? Let's move on to the next point that we have here. in the verse. More than just knowing, understand her language. We just read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. I'm moving ahead now. As with someone weaker, since she is a woman, I thought this was interesting, and I thought, well, let's look at the... My wife and I had a discussion about this last night. In fact, we called up Carl Ballard, and we said, what do you think? And he said, well, what does the Scripture say? Which I thought was very good. So what does the Scripture say? And when we look at this word weaker, what does that word, how is that Greek word translated in other locations? And let me just give you some of those. Other translations of this Greek word weak. First of all, it's translated as feeble. Now, these are all King James translations, so if you're in a different translation, it's translated as sick or impotent or weakness. Or I like this, Romans chapter 5, verse 6, without strength. We were without strength. Christ died for the ungodly. I think that's great. So she is weaker. But, you know, just as a reminder, it's helpful for us to remember, man, husband, you are weak. You know, it's not like she's, you know, she's weak, but boy, you're so powerful. That's not the point here. The point is she's weaker, but husband, you're weak. You also have things going on. And so, you're feeble. She's even more so. You're sick and you're infirm. She even more so. You know, you're without strength. She even more so. You know, sometimes as husbands, we ask these sorts of questions. Well, why can't she just, and fill in the blank. Why can't my wife just, fill in the blank. Why can't she? Why can't she just be like me? Well, your wife is so not like you. And isn't that great? That's terrific. I think that's fantastic. Well, I would say she can't just because she is weaker. That's the first point. And the second point is, why can't she just? She can't just because you, husband, will not. And if I, as a husband, will not, why should I be thinking that she would? I don't think that that's appropriate for us. Why should she be expected to? Let's move on. As with someone weaker, since she is a woman. But then the next part of the verse says, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. And this is where sometimes we say, well, wait a minute. If she's weaker than honor, I don't understand what's going on here. What is God trying to say? And God is being very specific to me. And God is saying that I need to honor my wife. Notice that it's something that I give to her. It is the gift given. It is the thing or the commodity which is assigned to her, from me to her. It is not something that just falls out of the... falls off the truck in the morning and she finds it on the road and picks it up. It is something that I specifically work toward to give to her. It is honor then that you assign to her. Show. Some of your translations say show her honor or give her honor. And then the question I have is, if she is weaker than I or if she's weak, then do we in our society honor what is weak? And I think that we do. And I think we do in a big way. I'm going to give you three examples, men, of how we honor what is weak. First of all, at my house, we assign honor to the weak at my house because we have hummingbirds and bluebirds at my house. And for the hummingbirds, we put out the little feeders. And in the summertime, in the heat of the summer, you know, come around August time, those get drained down once a day and we put them back out the same day. We put the nectar out for the hummingbirds. Are the hummingbirds so powerful that they can make their way in the world without us? Those hummingbirds are tiny. You're talking about ounces per individual. They need our help for us, but we assign them honor at our house right on the front porch. Bluebirds, we've got a little bluebird feeder over by the utility pole, and we have nesting male and female right there right now with eggs. We give them houses so they can have a place to be. We assign to them honor. We help them out. But you may not like nature, and this may not be your example. Let me move on to the next one. And my next one is that there are precious items that go into a museum so that everyone can enjoy them and everyone can see them. Are those precious items, are they weak or are they strong? Well, I would say they are very weak. In fact, sometimes the conservators have to work on those items for years, just so that they can be able to be shown to the public. precious items go into a museum. And my third example is from Kiowa. And that is that we had a car show, and our car show was, I want to say it was about 2 months ago, maybe it was only a month ago, but the day of the car show, I went with my kids, and it was spitting rain. You know, it wasn't really raining, it was spitting rain, and I thought, uh-oh. And we got to the car show, which was outside in the park, and we're walking around seeing all these fancy cars, and there's rain's kind of spitting down. You know, not enough from an umbrella, but just a little bit of rain every now and then. And I talked to Russ Crane, and he was there with his car. And I said, oh, sorry about the weather. And he said, oh, yeah. He said, my car has never been rained on. And that car is such a weak thing. You know, if I put that car there, and I walk away from the car, and I go travel around the world, and I come back in 20 years, unless it's been stolen, that car is still going to be right there. That's how weak that car is. But, oh, he loves that car. I love Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 35, where it says, he nourishes and cherishes it. And that's what I'm doing with that car. I love that car so much. And my question is, husbands, do I have that same kind of honor? You know, here he is worried about the rain spitting down on his little car, and I wonder what's going on with his wife, you know? I wonder if he has the same gentle care for his wife. That'd be an important thing for us to have. You know, if my hunting dog or my pet is visited more times a day than my wife, there's a problem. There's something wrong. Show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. I think that that's beautiful. Why do I honor her? I honor her because she's a fellow heir of the grace of life. We're both going to heaven. You know, I honor her as Christ honored the church. Keep your finger here because this is our text. But move with me back to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And let's spend a little time here. I will not read this entire text, verses 25 to 33. But I will read verses 25 and 26 and 27. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You know, honor her as Christ honored the church. He gave himself for her benefit, to benefit her, to benefit the church. And there's not a person in this room that is not thankful to God for the wonderful gift of his life and his death on our behalf. All right, so I thought it'd be nice if we could compare then. Compare, let's compare. What do you give your bride? And I want you to think also in terms of how do you give to your bride. I want to look, compare Christ and his gifts, and I want to compare some husbands. All right, first of all, Christ gave, and I think that that's amazing. And you think about the amount that was given, and you think about the hardship under which that was given. And then you look at some husbands and you say, how do they give? Well, they used to give, but not anymore. You know, I gave on our wedding day, and that was enough. I don't need to do that anymore. You know, we need to be people who gave as Christ gave. Secondly, he gave himself, and I think that that's a beautiful thing. He gave himself. And some husbands give things. Christ gave because she was not perfect, and that's why he gave. He gave to help her to become holy and without blemish. I think that's beautiful. But some husbands will give, well, unless she's imperfect, you know, and then she gets nothing from me. You know, she messed up, she gets nothing from me. Christ gave for a purpose. His purpose was to make her glorious, not himself glorious. It was to make her special, not himself special. Some husbands are giving just to mollify or to pacify. And I think that's a shame. So like Christ, I think we need to be careful in two things: how we give, in the manner in which we give, and also what we give. Make sure we're giving ourselves and not giving something. I'm moving ahead then to the next part of the verse, and this is, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. So I want to focus on honoring her as a fellow inheritor. I think that that's a beautiful thing. Honored as an honored child of God, do you expect God to honor you? Do you expect the Christ to honor you, husband? And then what honor are you giving to your wife, who is also a child of God? Now, am I going to honor her? Well, I'm going to honor her by my actions and by my words. But that third word right there, my mind, I think is extremely important, because if I do not honor my wife with my mind, neither the words nor the actions will follow. It's important for me to start there. All right. Am I honoring my wife? You know, so here we go with the is she honored when I list. And I'm just going to list a few of these. Is she honored when I grumble in my heart about her? Oh, she didn't make it the way my mama used to make it. Well, that's fine. Because you know what? She's not your mama. And you didn't marry your mama. And when I grumble in my heart, shame on me. How about this one? Do I live it up when she's gone? You know, when she's not here, woo-hoo, she's gone. I'm just going to live large. What is so small about my life that I will not live it up with her when she's here with me? You know, what is wrong with me? What am I saying to God? God is saying, I have given you this suitable companion, this one that suits you so well. And then I say, oh, I can't wait for her to go. Or how about this one? You know, I'm going to buy something, and it's going to be just for me. And where's the honor to her in that? Or how about this one? And I think this is the hardest cut of all in my thinking. It's when I can just shut her out. That's the worst. I think that's just the worst of all things that I could possibly do. Closing the door to my heart and keeping her out of that. That's a terrible thing. Now, instead of these sorts of things, we're not going to leave it there. We're going to go for the positive. I'm going to honor her by studying her every day. And I got to tell you, you could do this every day. Because you never get to that point where you're like, oh, I know everything about her. You need to know her language. You need to understand her code. And you need to speak it fluently. You need to understand her culture. You need to understand her likes and dislikes, and not only those likes and dislikes, but why. Because that why is such an important turning point for her. Pay attention to her. Determine her communication rituals. And there's this little dance you do. You know, if you've been married for, you know, 10 or 20 years, you start having this little dance that you do, and when you get started on that, you know where it's headed, and you know why each of you is playing the part that you play. That's so important for you to know. Why do you do this? Why do you honor her? Think about that. Why? Well, you do it for two reasons. First of all, because she is God's heir too, just like you are. And you do this because Christ did this for the church. Christ did this for the church. And so what I want us to think of is I want us to think as men, to be stronger. I want us to think men. I want us to be more able. I want us men to be more capable. I want us, as husbands, literally to man up. That's where I'm headed for with this lesson. And so I'm going to a conclusion here, which is going to be the same conclusion that we have in our text. First of all, that God made her for you. Second of all, I realize 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 is a tough assignment. I realize that. But I also realize that you and I, are, as husbands, are up for that challenge. I think we are. I think we can do that because God has given us this assignment. Your assignment is not just to live with her. Your assignment is to find ways every day in which you can honor her. And we follow through with this command because it is God's command to us. And we want to follow God. We're strong and capable because of the grace that God has given to us to accomplish this task. And let that be our prayer every day. I want us to think about these things. I've finished with my sermon. Let's stand up and let's sing the song that's been announced.